All right, as you continue, after a half mile, the road becomes a fully muddy trail that meanders through the woods, descending gradually until the trees part, revealing a mist-shrouded meadow. I'm going to show you more of this mist-shrouded meadow. The trail splits. One branch heads west into the valley, and that's the path that will be leading over this direction, and the other leads south into dark woods, going down this way. There's a wooden signpost at the intersection which points west and reads Vineyard. So this way is apparently is the vineyard, and then it doesn't say anything about what is down here to the south. And let me bring chat over there. Sorry, everybody. Here we go.
So it's quite an open area. You don't see any creatures or anything in the distance, do we?
Not so far. You do see over there that this is obviously a big clearing, and you can see what looks like rows and rows of sort of organized rows of something. You can't quite see from this distance, but it looks like, you know, dirt and plants, as you might expect from a vineyard. Definitely tilled and managed land down here.
How do the crops look? Sorry.
Too far away. You'd have to get closer to see.
Okay. Quick housekeeping thing, Arv. Can sure. we give a quick recap to the audience members? And by audience members, I mean me, as to what the problem is with the Wicked Wizard of Wine.
You were told by the Martikoffs back in Valaki that the Wizard of Wines had basically dried up. And actually, I think you also heard this from the Vistanis, the Vistani camp. Yep. I think Weller had heard that from. That basically the vineyard, which produced most of the wine for much of Barovia, has gone silent, and there have been no deliveries coming out of it for a while now, which means that everyone's stocks of alcohol are running low. And although in real life I would be somewhat uncomfortable with the idea that this is the reality, in the world of Barovia, the reality is that alcohol sometimes is one of the few things that gets people through the cold nights and the fact that they live with Strahd Vanzarovich as their lord. So there's a real morale issue sort of associated with this. And the Martikovs in particular seemed concerned about why this would have just come to a stop suddenly.
I think you said the Martikoffs were related to...
Correct, they're related to the people who run this vineyard, yeah.
So it's a family thing, too. Yep.
The vineyard, the building there itself, does it look like it's active? Is there smoke coming from each?
Does not seem to be any smoke, but right now, as I mentioned, it's kind of, it's, you know, now we're talking about probably early afternoon by the time you get there. And so you can see that but there's still kind of this mist descending over it, so it's not easy to see it very clearly. Again, you'd need to get closer, you know, head along the path if you wanted to get closer to it.
Thank you for that recap, Arv, by the way.
Sure, no problem. Does that help? Does that explain?
Yep, that's exactly, yeah, because it has been a while since we've
thought about
discussed.
It. No, I know. All of a sudden, you took a side trip to the Silver Dragon people.
Wait, they're going to see a vineyard? This doesn't sound very Barovian. Mm-hmm. What's happening here?
Arv, I need Valley yet again. For some reason,
I brought him over. I have him over there somewhere.
Well, it's...
He's there.
There he is. There he is.
Hello, Esmeralda.
Yes, there we go.
He does exist. They do exist.
I was going to say, I was like, I know I have it here.
All right, I'm going to send him over toward the vineyard.
Okay.
So actually, I'm going to... There we go.
Okay. He sails over and kind of, you know, heads over... the top of the place, and you can only see, you can't necessarily smell or hear, correct? So you can just see the sort of area below him as he circles. It does not seem like there's any smoke or anything coming out of that building. He does note that there's a well, there's an outhouse, there's a stable that's attached to it and so forth. But it does look like a lot of the vines in the vineyard are dead, or at least not in great condition. You can see a lot of brown and kind of withered vines in the vineyard, although again he's up pretty high, so you know, swooping over it, you know, would be another thing, I suppose, but definitely looks like it's not necessarily in great shape. and that's pretty much all he sees as he's looking.
It looks like I have sight and hearing, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, he doesn't really hear anything.
But it sounds like it's dead quiet. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is it a combination well and outhouse?
Yeah, two separate things.
Good.
Two separate things. Yes.
Then that is not part of the problem. Okay.
Crumbling well in a wooden outhouse. Yeah, they've confused them. They're like, we just keep going. This place. Sudden, we're all getting poisoned. We've been going to
the greatest practical joke. Switch the sides.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
I'll bring him back and then say that there does not seem to be any signs of life. But since we're here, we might as well investigate.
Let's go.
But I have, yes.
And of course, Xavier just like sort of takes full control. He says, point me towards the wine, son.
A light drizzle begins to fall. Unpainted fences blindly follow the trail, which skirts north of a sprawling vineyard before bending south toward a stately building. The fog takes on ghostly forms as it swirls between the neatly tended rows of grapevines. Here and there, you see rope-handled half-barrels using for hauling grapes. North of the trail is a large stand of trees you can actually see right here. A man wearing a dark cloak and cowl stands at the edge of the trees, beckoning you. Now, Valley did not see that person when they came by that way.
Mm-hmm. Not entirely surprised.
Shatter in the voice of the seagulls. Wine, 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 wine. That's good stuff. That's awesome.
Perfect.
Well, it's what, 6-1, so I think we could probably take him. So
was he there a moment ago?
Valley did not see anything. Does that mean he may not have been there?
I just saw him. He just appeared there. I didn't think he came through the forest or anything like that.
I'm sure. Perhaps he is the wizard.
Yeah, it's possible.
The wonderful wizard of wine.
Maybe it's an actual wizard who does the wine.
I don't know about wonderful, but... And Weller is...
Because.
Sampling grapes, like picking one or two off and handing them to Little Weller.
Okay.
Who is looking at them and... eating them.
Gotcha.
Oh, I thought I was going to make a still. I was going to actually start, making some.
You know those grapes are another person's property, right?
I didn't think they'd begrudge him one or three.
I see five now you've taken.
I had not taken them. Weller took them, but he's doing some experiment. We're trying to figure out what is stopping.
There's now seven taken, so.
That sounds like a guilty verdict if ever I've heard one.
He's hungry.
We could have had some of the rations that I've got. I've got extra just in
case.
Those
are disgusting. They taste like whatever cardboard is supposed to be.
Look, Lambus bread. And what else have we got? More Lambus bread.
Meanwhile, at the edge of the grove,
this guy's arms is getting tired. He's like,
I remember going to a college basketball game. I think it was last year, and it was featuring the St. Joseph's, and I believe it's the Red Hawks. And so they have this mascot who's wearing the, the Red Hawk costume. But his thing was he's flapping his wings, and you're like, okay, he flapped his wings the entire game. And when I say the entire game, I mean that he flapped it all of the first half, went into the locker room at halftime flapping his wings, came out still flapping his wings, and never stopped. I was like, this guy must have arms the size of, he never stopped. So we were joking about my daughter and I, just for some reason, Little Arv found this really,
arm day.
Yeah, Little Arv and I were just found this really funny. And she's just like, Daddy, he's at dinner, like flapping his wings. He just never stopped. My God. Anyway. So, sorry. It just reminded me.
Are we approaching this gentleman?
Mm-hmm.
You're well or well.
Yeah.
So, you head toward... exactly. So, no, he's actually quite silent. You head towards the cloaked figure. And when you arrive closer to them, you can see that... He has dark hair. You don't recognize him. Dark, longish hair, probably just to about his shoulders. He has a beard, just sort of the stubble of a beard, really. Looks to be maybe in his 40s, late 30s, early 40s, something like that. Is standing there, kind of waiting for you silently. And as you all arrive at the trees, eight other cloaked figures all silently emerge and basically come out and stand behind him. And they are all sort of look similar. They're wearing these dark leather rain cloaks and cowls. And one of them is an older... Let me actually see if I have a picture for him. I might. One of them is an older gentleman.
The wine druids.
I do. Here we go. Let's see. Do I have... Yes, perfect. I give to you...
The god of hellfire!
Blagothicus, I give to you this guy, who is... I'm only giving you the name because he's about to explain it himself. So, he stands out from behind the others and walks towards you. You can see that he has this sort of almost runic covered or something, very detailed staff that he leans on. And he's got one eye sort of more open than the other. It looks very old. And he has these sort of gleaming, that has that gleaming sort of teapot, it seems like, at his belt. And sort of steps forward a little bit and he says, So, if you've come for the vineyard, there's nothing here, I'm afraid. We're closed at present, although it is not our will that we be closed.
I had to hide everyone here till we became closer. You were one, and then now you're nine.
That is because we live in suspicious and dangerous times, I'm afraid. This has been a difficult moment for us. We have been driven from this place and have stayed as close as we dared to avoid capture or death.
Driven by what?
And he kind of looks at you, and he has this odd experience there. Esmeralda, of course, does the typical stare, but every so often he's kind of like, he kind of peers more than stares, maybe. So he, you know, kind of looks up at you, and he says...
Oh, yeah, stare away, buddy. Bring it.
He kind of peers up at you, and he says,
Ah, yes, we were driven away by evil druids. They must have been, for they brought with them... creatures from the woods. Terrible creatures. Filled with branches and needles. They shot them at us, and many of us were injured.
Yes.
Even one of us was killed.
Yes.
Do you know of these things? He says, looking
Sadly,
at you.
Sadly, yes, we encountered them.
Well, then that means they have spread. That is not good at all. But we must tend to our own borders first.
That house, and he points with his staff with a trembling hand down to where the building is.
That is the building where we were when they came and drove us forth. Since then they have departed, yet we have been loath to approach, for these creatures are numerous and dangerous.
Yes. Question.
Yes.
Well... For all of your trepidation about strangers and odd goings-on, the first group of people that shows up, you immediately beckon them to you? This makes no sense.
He says...
And then leave.
He says...
Perhaps we should tell them who we are, Wella.
Perhaps they should start.
Agreed.
And he nods and he says,
It is a just suspicion. I am myself suspicious of all, and would be suspicious of you... Were it not for the fact that we have seen you approach and have received word that there was a group in the land who wished to challenge Strahd. I have word from my family in Valaki that there were some who had come to their place and had done some good there. I am Davian Martikov, and for decades I have run this vineyard. I thought that I would grow old and die here at its head. Did not expect to be driven to its place separately from this and to be here in a stand of trees. But yes, I know who you are, for I was told of your arrival.
So, you are kin to Luvash and Arigol, yes?
And, as he quickly looks, because he's getting something other in his mind that may be confusing him about who each one of them is.
Maybe. Hold on one moment. I'm just accessing.
I am very
Danica and Erwin Mardikoff are the inn owners.
That's what I thought, yeah. Because Aragorn with the Vistani. That's why I wanted to make sure. Okay, yes. So he says,
what? No, I think one of those are those, well...
And he sees, because he caught sight of not just Esmeralda, but also caught sight of Zarama, and he says,
I was about to say the damned Vistani, for too many of them have spent their time in allegiance to Strahd himself. But I have been told by some of my younger relatives that I am too quick to paint with a broad brush. Perhaps it is so. I will say merely that they, I think, mean no good to the city of Valaki, at least according to my relatives there. No, I am related to those that own the inn in that town, and it was they who sent me the ravens to warn me of your arrival.
I see. So, I believe they also were the ones who told us, requested that we come out here and find out what is going on. But if they have ready communication lanes with you, why don't they know?
And he says, because every 5 ravens that are sent, 4 of them are killed at least by Strahd's spies. We only have so many of these. And even in the most difficult circumstances, we need our lines of communication to be open as much as possible. We had thought to go ourselves back to the town of Valaki, but our worry was that we could not abandon this building entirely. There could be those who would place other traps and dangerous ambushes. At least here we can keep an eye on things such as it is.
What would you need in order to get this place running again?
If you could clear out that building from the deadly creatures that have no doubt taken up occupation within it, that would be a beginning. There are others, I think, who have said that there may be some elsewhere where the attacks came from, but we cannot consider that until we remove the invaders within our own walls.
Would any of your fellow groundspeople here, your kin, or whomever they are, be willing to assist us in that endeavor, or are we supposed to just do it alone?
They will not be doing it alone, for certain. There will be others who would come, at least to be able to spy out your road. These are members of my family. Adrian is my eldest son.
And Adrian is actually the dude that you saw originally beckoning you, who sort of looks at you and he kind of inclines his head.
And Elvir, my youngest.
And Elvir literally looks like you took a copy of Adrian, but just reduced him in age by about 10 years. He looks very, very much like the same, just a copy of him. He does not exactly smile. None of these people smile, but he kind of nods more quickly. And you notice that he seems a little more restless, kind of like eager to go and do whatever is needed. He says,
Stefania, my daughter.
And Stefania, who looks like a woman also of about 40 perhaps, stands forward and again, dark hair, dark eyes, long hair as well, kind of again inclines her head towards you.
And Dag Tomescu, Stefania's husband.
And he also has the same cloak and everything else, but he has much shorter hair, kind of cropped close, and these eyes that are sort of very quick. He almost looks like kind of he's always like scanning, you know, the area, so to speak. And he kind of, you know, nods his head quickly to all of you.
And the rest are those who are members of us, Stefania and Dag's 4 children.
And he sort of points and you see a couple of actually young two what looks like young boys almost in cloaks, and then one who looks maybe in his teenage years. And he introduces these as Claudiu, who is the teenage son, and then boys named Martin and Viggo, who also starred in Lord of the Rings. No, a different kind of Viggo. And then the last one, you notice that the son Claudiu is actually holding a little baby, who of course is not cloaked, but also has even though she is a baby, sort of dark hair and dark eyes, sort of unusual for that age, and is very quiet. Davian says, "That is the youngest of us, Yolanda, being held by her older brother, Claudio. Now you know all of who we are, and this is all that are left. Some of us, of course, cannot fight, as you can see." And he kind of inclines his head to the boys and to the baby girl. He says, "The rest of us perhaps would be willing to do what we can, although my years of fighting are, I am afraid, many decades hence." And he kind of bows, kind of almost like bowing under his age. He says, "But Elvir and Adrian and Dag perhaps could be of assistance to you, as could Stefania. I don't know what their fighting spirit would be, and probably Stefania and Dag would not wish both of them to go. There are the children to consider, but they could at least scout the way and give you any information that they possess."
Xavier, thinking about this and the old man saying that he's passed his best years, sort of talks inside of Mason's head and just goes,
"Would make for a proper distraction if we just threw him towards the enemy." "Not now, Xavier, not now."
And after he sort of, visibly shows that he's, having this moment with his inner voice, he says, "Naturally, we don't want to have more death as a result of this event go on, or anyone to lose more family members than they already have. However, any help would be much appreciated." And as I say that, I'll do introductions. It's fair to do that on the other side. Perhaps you can show us someplace where we might be able to... We are standing out here in the middle of it's vineyard here. Perhaps we could find some place to set up a base where we can strike out from,
And he nods.
What we're about to do, and also you can let us know any other information that you believe is pertinent.
And he gestures behind him, and he says, "The trees await us, such as they are. I must ask that you all move as quietly as you can. Even in the talking to you, there is some danger. But we suspected you would not wish to come with us into the trees before we had had a chance to discuss things. We can seem to some to be rather disturbing." And he kind of looks at the others, and they kind of all sort of silently observe you. Now, you've been in a land for these past however many months that definitely... put the under in Undertaker. These people are very, very not happy most of the time, with very few exceptions. And yet, even in that group, this group seems particularly dour. They do not seem, and I want to make this specific. In fact, let me see. You know what? I'm going to have Django make this roll. Django, I want you to make an insight roll for me, please.
I would be happy to, sir.
Can I also join in that role since I've been talking to them directly?
I'm going to say no, because the reason that he can is because of his look. He came from this land, so that's why he's getting it.
And that's 27.
27. Yeah. As you know, Django, there are many people in Barovia that are perhaps literally soulless. They are born without souls, and they are particularly flat of affect and kind of no joy, and they just sort of, they're almost like human beings going through the motions. These are not that. You would almost put money on the idea that these are not soulless creatures. And yet, despite that, there is a sort of deep, I don't want to say a word that makes it sound like they're under control. It feels like repression, but they're not repressed. It's just that they have deep control of something that they want to sort of keep to themselves. They seem very reserved, but not soulless.
Okay.
I was going to No, go ahead.
Stoic is the word that kind of comes to mind, but if there's something deeper there, but I'll not
Stoic
press.
Would be part of it. They're all redheads. Wow, Shatter. Well, you know.
Wait a minute.
All right.
Okay, well, since I can't be involved in that, what I was going to ask before you made him do that role is not exactly does it seem like they are hiding anything, or are they being, you know, noticeably, like...
Like, there's no strange deformities or any kind of thing like
that. Well, that was what I was going to get to. Like, I'm not talking about personality. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, like, do they seem human on some level? Like, do they...
Yes, they seem human, although the physical deformity thing is a little different. I mean, because they don't look physically deformed except for this guy who just looks, like, stooped with age. But the... As far as the other thing, I will allow you, Mason, to make a insight check for this. It'll all be right. A different, but you're getting different information than Django would be. Because Django,
I imagine. Yeah, right. Makes sense.
You're like, I think that maybe they don't have souls. And, you know, like, Django's like, no, I've learned that. That's where you're wrong.
That's
if you had to guess, Mason, you would guess that they're not. There is stuff that they are keeping to themselves, but it's absolutely impossible to tell the nature of it. Frankly, you have run into many people in your long career and, you know, certainly within this land that keep things to themselves that are not even vaguely dangerous to anybody else. They're just things they don't want to talk about. So you're pretty positive that they're not telling you everything, but that doesn't mean like, haha, there's an ambush. Like they're just not telling you something about themselves probably, but they haven't, you know, what that is unclear to you. And it doesn't just necessarily feel like it does feel as if they're being clear about the fact they were driven from that building and that they have been in the trees here. And it seems like all that seems all on the up and up to you. But there may be things that they're not giving you all of the whole story, possibly.
Davian, how long have you been dealing with this situation?
And Davian says, it was probably several weeks ago. They drove in upon us. At first, we heard it only with the cry of one of our workers out in the fields. When we looked out, we saw he had fallen, pierced by these needles, and it seemed as if the vines themselves had come to life. It was only when we looked closer that we saw that they were separate things, strange wooden beasts with needles and branches which they threw at the workers. Fortunately, all the rest of them managed to make it back to the house. We came forth and tried to fight, but we were useless against their power. And there were several cloaked figures behind them that were controlling them, it seemed, and that is why I say they were evil druids. What else could have that kind of power? Finally, we made our escape into the fog, and they did not pursue us after we got past a certain point. Perhaps all they wished was for the vineyard to be theirs and to stop producing the wine that gives some joy to the sad people of Barovia. In that, they have been found to be correct.
First rule of bringing your enemy to heel. Well, maybe perhaps not the first rule, but one of many is crush their morale. This would be one way to do it. Did it seem to you like they were interested in destroying the vineyard or just preventing you from doing what you do here?
He says, I cannot say. They said nothing. They simply drove in upon us. And when they allowed us to leave, it seemed as if that was all they wished, for they could no doubt have pursued us further. Some of us, the young especially, would not have been able to run much further. It seemed as if their job was simply to control this place, but not destroy us. They gave no demands and spoke nothing to us. Simply attacked in silence.
And there was no warning of this at all? No event that happened?
No.
Certainly not. There have been those who have come to us before and demanded wine be delivered at a faster rate, especially certain Vistani.
And he kind of glances over towards Zarama and Esmeralda, and actually towards you, Django, as well. And then kind of looks back and says,
but that has always been simply several individual drunkards wishing to be sotted that much faster. But no, we have not faced threats, and we have our own methods of protection, one might say. But they were useless here. The cry of the worker was the only warning that we had, and they were upon us.
So nothing interesting, no strange things happened before.
This whole land is strange, sir, but nothing stranger than normal, no.
Has anyone else tried to take care of these creatures?
No. There have been several that have come here looking for their wines, and they have gotten not within thousands of feet of their place before they saw these creatures moving about and turned and fled. And most of them we allowed to go, for we did not wish to risk anyone else. We only ask you because of what we have heard from my relatives in Valaki, and we think that adventurers may have a better chance than the poor civilians and peasants who wish to get something to make their nights slightly warmer.
I'll look towards the other family members and just kind of like call out to them and say, so nothing happened, none of you saw anything strange before this happened?
And the youngest son, Elvier, the one who was kind of the copy, but you know, the youngest one, steps forward and says,
I saw something, sir. It was to the south, it was. There were creatures, sounds, and rustlings coming from the wood path. Up that way is Yester Hill, sir. It's a place that we sometimes used to go. And he kind of glances, and you can see that Stefania and Dag are kind of looking at him as if he's, like, revealing something, like, as if he's saying something he's not supposed to be saying, like, and then he kind of swallows and says,
some of my friends and I, sir, once in a while went there at night.
And he kind of, his eyes flicker up to his parents, and you can see his parents are not pleased. Like, you don't need an insight check to see that they're not happy about hearing this. But he says,
but there was nothing ever there, sir. And then, well, I started to hear more noise and rustling, and I came back and I did tell my parents.
And he looks up at his parents like, I did. The parents sort of shake their head and say, you know, actually, no, I'm sorry, I'm confusing them. Those are his brother and sister. I beg your pardon. This is not Elvier saying this. This is Claudio. I'm sorry. I was like, why am I? It doesn't make sense. Claudio, the teenager. I'm sorry. So Claudio is the one saying this, and still holding his baby sister. And Claudio says, but I never heard anything else, sir. I told my parents about it, and they said it was probably just my imagination. And he kind of looks up at Dag and Stefania, and Stefania nods and says,
it is true, he told us. Although he did not tell us where he was first.
And he kind of doesn't look at them. And she says,
but we assumed it was nothing. It was part of the usual movements of the forest around here. Strahd is ever present, we say.
How many of these druids are there, do you say?
And Davian says, I counted three such figures. I cannot say if there are more, but there were at least three such creatures standing silently behind these beastly wood things.
Have they retreated deep into the insides of the vineyard?
I have not seen any of them, except, as I say, when something approaches the house. Then others come forth, but I have not seen others around in the vineyard or elsewhere. It is as if they are waiting for something.
But I don't understand. What is actually attacking? Is it the druids, or are they using the vines to defend themselves and keep at a distance?
No, the druids control these strange wood-like creatures. They threw wood-like needles. Your friend there, and he kind of points at Alec, said that he knew of these things. They are odd, but they are not vines. They look like, well, moving trees, or perhaps small bushes that are still living and throw parts of themselves. Very dangerous, it seems.
But forgive me, perhaps I am not being clear. What I am trying to ascertain is which head must we cut off so that instead of just fighting an endless foe, we actually destroy the beast that is at the heart of all of this mayhem?
That I cannot say. I would say that the druids are most certainly the ones controlling these creatures, or so it seemed. If you were to challenge them and attack those druids, you might do some good. But again, very little can be done here in our stand of trees. At least if we had control of the building again, we could establish this, you called it a base, I think, and that might allow us to push further south. Perhaps the boy speaks truth about Yester Hill, but to go to Yester Hill before we have cleansed ourselves of this evil from this vineyard building, that seems as if we might be doing danger to ourselves. We would push forward to the building first, and then on to Yester, I would think.
Which building is he talking about?
So he's talking about the main building, which is down here. Yeah.
Not the venue.
Yeah, he does mean this. Nope, just one building. That's the building they're talking about.
And is he saying that the druids are in the building or outside of it?
That he doesn't know. He hasn't seen the druids since. He just knows that they were driven from the building.
I wasn't really getting what he was saying.
Yeah.
No, the druids had the tree creatures to drive them off, and then kind of disappeared.
Correct. And it's not clear if there are tree creatures inside. When there have been a couple people who have come close to the house, the tree creatures have appeared, but it's not clear if they're coming from in the house or from elsewhere.
I suppose my only other question is, do the druids themselves attack, or do they allow all of their attacks to occur through their vine creatures?
I saw no actions by the cloaked figures, simply standing watching silently as their wood creatures did the fighting for them.
We encountered these guys before? Or versions of this, or just Alec?
No, we did.
No, we all did.
I don't think you were in that session.
You may not have been there for that
probably
session.
When was that?
We were leaving this town. It was like the first encounter we had out in the woods.
Outside of
Valaki.
Right.
Okay, cool. All right, I'm good.
I'll just say, out at Yester Hill, is there any landmarks, any caves, or any structures out there of note?
And he thinks for a minute, and then he says,
well, if I were to consider it, I would say there are. This place, Yester Hill, was at one time considered to be a holy place. There were those, even before the arrival of Strahd, who would use that to worship to their gods. Now, though, it is a dark place of ritual. It is quite possible that that place, filled with dark energy as it seems it is, could be a place where druids, evil ones, might congregate. There is one hill which stands alone, and as you come to the top of it, you would see a wide ring of black boulders and smaller rocks that create this circle, if you will, enclosing a field of dead grass. The rest of it, though, I cannot say, for I have not been there in some time. It is separate from the rest of the forest around it, and it is a most dangerous place, it is said. That the boy would go there on his own is troubling.
He kind of looks back at the kid.
I just look at Claudio and just say, so you didn't, there was no strange things happening up in that area?
Well, no, sir. There's usually, well, he's right. There's, of course, a circle of stones, and that usually is where we spend time just playing games, you might say, sir. And then past that, there's a whole, a grove of trees. They're mostly dead trees, but there's one big strange one, sir, that is in the middle of it. It's weird, and we didn't like to spend much time near it. We usually just stayed in that circle of stones. You can see everything from up there, even part of the vineyard from the hill, sir.
All right. There may not have been any strange events or anything, but was there any possible, maybe, you know, over time, maybe a loss of creatures, some game that hunt for food, anything like that out of the ordinary?
Are you asking Claudio or are you
Davian,
asking
Davian?
Okay. Davian says,
any change to the wildlife?
Yes. There have been far fewer creatures of late around here of normal quality. There are, of course, ravens, and there are, in some cases, a fox or perhaps a squirrel, but far fewer of those. Almost no birds besides the ravens roam the skies now, and there is little movement from rabbit or from other woodland creatures. Since we have been driven from the vineyard, this place seems silent, except for the rustling of these dead wooden things.
All right, let's figure out a plan.
The simplest thing to do would be to investigate the main building to ensure there are no creatures there. If they are, eliminate them. So when we go up the hill, they will not be able to call in the reinforcements if we do, in fact, face these dark druids or whatever they seem to be.
Sounds good enough to me.
I'm fine with this.
Very well. Then let us be about it. The sooner we get this started, the sooner the wine can start flowing again. By your leave, Master Motikov.
And he nods and he says,
by your leave, Executor.
Well, that's the first time Django has spoken in the entire conversation. So.
I noticed that.
And again, it's in his mind, so he may be a little startled by hearing that. So,
he doesn't seem as startled, perhaps, as you might expect. He simply nods and says,
very well. Thank you for your assistance, and we will do what we can, if we can, to help. But please take care. This is a dangerous situation, you can understand.
Every day in Barovia is a dangerous situation. But we appreciate your words of wisdom, and we'll heed them as we go. I look around at everyone, especially we got Esmeralda. I broadcast to all my party members that I do not think we need to involve the Motikov family in any of this. We should be enough to handle whatever we may find at the main building, correct?
Well, I will reject any help from them if they want to join us. I'm not saying that we should be I don't think we should put them in on the front lines necessarily, but I won't turn away any help if they want to give us a hand.
Maybe just leave Rude and Zarama out just to keep an eye on them in case any more creatures come from the forest while we're dealing with this.
And Rude sort of nods his head silently.
And Arena can stay with him as well, and the kids.
Right. So Arena and Yishuan, the kids sort of come along as well.
I think we'll keep Zarama with us, though.
I think that's probably a good idea.
I'll Jaeger her, so I've done it before. Yep.
Esmeralda sort of nods, and she says, you begin to sort of step away, she says,
if it is true that these are the same as the creatures that we fought, then we must be ready for the possibility that many of them will attack at once. We must have our wits about us.
All right, so when we fought them last time, when they were near death, they would explode, and shards of thorns would go around in a fair distance away from them. So stay a good 20, 30 feet away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like looking at my weaponry and I'm like,
Yeah, that makes two of us. What do you plan to do, Alec? Last time, it did not go well for you.
How about I distract them as best I can? Maybe push them away from party members. I don't really know how else I can really do, but I can at least shield some of you.
The thought had crossed my mind that we may be best served by that aspect of your demeanor as well, shall we say. Above all, I think you should keep an eye, and no offense, but to protect Sarama, to make sure she does not fall under their onslaught. That would be most unfortuitous of us, for us. If that
we're dealing with druids, that could be a problem as well. They're very cunning. They have a lot of abilities.
You have faced druids before?
Oh, I mean, like, I've met a few. Very, let's just say, very neutral in their stances. And, I mean, like, one of them turned to a bear. That was crazy. Like a huge bear.
Huh. Well, the druids of Barovia have a very different outlook, much like most other people here. It may not be what you were expecting, so be careful. In the meantime, I think we should begin this as soon as we can.
Okay.
Present.
So,
all right.
I'm going to...
Did you see the message that I put in Zoom?
I did. Yep,
okay,
yep.
Cool. Just want to make sure.
Okay, so I'm going to bring you all to... I'm sure you'll be excited. A new map!
We did it. I've been waiting for this for so long.
All my life I've been... okay, give me just a second.
That last map was giving me serious agita, so I'm very happy we're on a new map.
I've been waiting for a map like this.
To come into my... Wow.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, man. Good stuff.
So is it a one-level map?
I'm ourselves, by the way.
It's all on one page, but it is not necessarily
it's a multi-page.
But it's not a one map. It's not a one level place. But it's
one day off. You have an easy map.
Exactly.
North up.
North is up. Yes, I'm
good.
I actually looked down at it a second. I'm like, wait, is it? yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay. So let me reveal what I have. Just make sure that that's set. Okay, give me just a second. And this is a good moment while I'm doing this to remind everybody that you are all here. And it's good to see everybody. You are all here watching day 3 of ARVCon 2019, D&D with Infinity Beyond Curse of Strahd. And I just realized that I didn't put the title up. So let me just do that quickly. Because the title, of course, is Revenants and Revelations.
You have all been brought here to part ways with your money and donate it to a campaign for a very good cause. So do that now while we are paused here.
That is precisely the case. Exclamation point,
but then again,
donate.
We will not continue.
Should it be Revenants and Revelation and Demon Rignon?
Revenants
like
and
wine. Making part of it.
okay, Revenants, Revelations.
That's the Druid's name.
Classicor, is there a workaround for... yeah, and that's what it will look like when you do the donated thing. Yes, exactly what Shadow Mage just said. If you contact a moderator, we can figure out how to do it. And it's good to see Classicor, and that would be much appreciated if you're able to do that. I know that it's donating. Sometimes they're like, it seems difficult sometimes to donate to them, which is on certain occasions if you don't have a card or whatever else. But if you could contact the mods, that would be much appreciated. As I fix this title, good, lovely. We're up to 1607, so I do want to remind everybody that we have another giveaway coming up at 1750. And we have already heard today that if we hit our goal overall, which was 3,500, which is a big goal, if we hit 3,500, Mr. Trendane Sparks will no longer be a furry. No, I just made that up. Mr. Trendane Sparks will shave his beard. He's like, what?
As furry.
He won't be as... That's true. He won't be as furry. That's what I meant to say. Because
exactly,
he will
yes.
Shave his beard. That's right. He will shave his beard. This is a stunning new moment. So, yes. You can finally tell Trendane from Arvin. Right.
He will eat his map of the Sword Coast that is behind him.
Wow, that would take a while.
Not only that, this is vinyl. It would be very bad for me.
actually,
as if a paper map would be fine like that. So like, everything else would be okay.
It would at least be digestible.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Taste is like, but yeah, exactly.
But yeah, vinyl would be bad.
It's easy to tell Arv and me apart. He can sing, so.
Oh. It's easy to tell me apart because he can do, what do you want? And I can, like, I can do a deep voice, and Trent's like, no, this is how you do a deep voice. You look like shit.
Yes. You know? He can say you don't want to, and that is the only difference between the two. Otherwise, you are exact copies of each other.
Yes, exactly.
Like brothers.
Also, I do wear glasses, and Trent does not, so there's also that.
Yet, my left eye is starting to go.
Oh, okay. Well, here's my sympathy for you.
But then you get to wear a monocle.
I've had my glasses since I was 5. Don't want to hear it. I just like...
You know, my housemate does wear a monocle when he reads.
That's pretty sweet. Okay. That's pretty awesome.
So does the sand and the glower. It's... Oh, fuck, never mind.
Another way to tell Arv and me apart? He likes women. I mean, I like women, but, you know...
Not that way.
Let's move on.
I mean, I was just like, yeah, something bad is going to happen in this conversation, and it's not going to be good, and I don't know.
It'd be something bad.
Yeah. Okay.
Just eat my oatmeal. Let's continue.
Let me bring you folks over then to. I will bring you folks over to this map here. Wait for it. I gotta drag the flag over. Okay. Can I get to it? Yes, I can. Nope.
Yeah, I wish that page thing was smaller, or you could like. The other thing you do, you could probably move the map across and then move the server.
Yeah, I know. I've done that before. It's just I don't like getting it out of order because it makes sense as to... Oh,
okay.
Really, you're going to make me do that? All right, fine.
We can move us to a blank one if it's got shadows
and
stuff on
it. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Here we go.
The map. Yes.
The map.
There
we are.
Okay. First thing I do, I'm going to put north up, drawn in MS Paint style.
Yes, that would be...
Very important.
That would be lovely. Okay, so welcome, chat, to a new map. So, situated in the midst of the vineyard, the winery is an old two-story stone building with multiple entrances. There is thick ivy that covers every wall and iron fencing along its roofline. The trail ends at an open loading dock on the ground floor. A wooden stable of more recent construction is attached to the east side of the winery, and that is over here, it looks like, is this stable that I previously mentioned. That is next to the loading dock. So basically over here, I'll show you, is where the loading dock is. West of the winery is a crumbling well and a wooden outhouse, which, for the record, is again different from those are different things from each other. So I'm going to put more of, reveal more of the outside of this building because there's multiple ways that you could theoretically approach it.
We are very big.
Huge!
Huge.
Just confirm these squares are 10 feet or 5 feet?
These squares are 5 feet.
Okay.
Just give me a second here. I literally have to, like, cover the inside of the well, so I'm like, I'll just reveal everything. Oh, except for the well. Well, there's the well. Everything else, though. Okay. So you can see the outside of it. As it does look like an older building, although not nearly as old as Argon was told where you just were. Okay, almost. Bear with me a little longer. Just a little bit longer. Okay. And I think that should be just about it. Lovely. Okay. So, yeah, let me zoom out a little bit. The player map so the chat can see this as well. So you've got basically a few areas that you could join, and it depends on where you want to put yourselves in terms of where you want to approach this area.
I assume we're at the north. I mean, like, it's safe to approach from the north.
Yeah, so that is up to you where you want to approach from. If you want to do the north, that's fine, but then just everyone place yourselves, please, where you want to be, and I will resize. I shall resize Weller downwards.
So I assume past this square line here is something else map related, yeah?
So
like this is the edge of the...
Yeah. That leads to other things.
How dare you?
That's basically the upper floor up there.
I need to be a little bit smaller, I think.
So it's definitely a multi-level structure.
Here you go. See. Just joking. Not that small, all right?
I'm mini Django.
Yes. Don't forget the Raven.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, don't forget Belly. Very important.
Well, I also have to bring in Esmeralda.
Everyone else.
We got
those
three. There is Mason.
Oh, I can bring in Zeralda.
Stop moving me.
I didn't move it. That wasn't me.
Move it more.
That was Sod. Blame Sod.
It wasn't me.
Hashtag blame.
Do it.
Blame whoever that was.
I just got rid of the hit points because for some reason it's got 12 or 24. And won't change.
Let me just pull.
I hate that. It strikes them all. It's very annoying.
Okay, Esmeralda. Go.
That was my armor class, like 14, I think.
Okay.
My character sheet. How odd. All right, let's.
Okay, here we go, Wizard of Wines. All right. All right, whoops. Sorry. You're already over there. There's Valley, and there is Esmeralda, and let me just reduce little Wella. There we go. Okay. I think we're all set. Oh, wait. Sorry, we got something. $20, yay, from Classicore. Thank you, Classicore. Woo! Thank you, Classicore. I see it. Thank you very much, Classicore. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. That is awesome. Good to see Classicore, former Arvanaut Idol winner. 1627, that brings us up to. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you, Classicore. Thanks, dude. And thank you, mods, for handling the alternate method. So we are up to 1627 now. We are only $123 away from the 1750 giveaway. And then, of course, we'll be that much closer to 2000. So we are making serious progress right here. Right now the party is still trailing Adventures of Middle-earth for the most money raised for a particular session. So that is, you know, I understand that that's
so
really the most
fix that.
Yeah.
Right.
I was gonna say that's the most important thing for anybody. So, but thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Classicore. No, it's true. You were always be once an Arvital winner, always an Arvital winner. That is true. Okay. So, you folks, thank you again, Classicore. So you're all standing outside here, but did you want to make him go? Do you want a little Weller to vanish?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't like moving him.
I was just hiding him because he's in his bottle.
I gotcha. Okay.
Stop moving him.
Okay. There we go. How about now? Just kidding. Okay. So, all right. So what do you folks, how do you folks want to approach? And I'm going to assume that you're making a decision from a little bit of a distance. So whenever you finally say, okay, this is where we're going
right.
to approach, you're not actually 10 feet away from it yet. This is just you assuming where you're going to go.
So you said the double doors on that were technically staying in front of that. You said a loading dock. Is that correct?
This area right here appears to be a loading dock. And this right here looks to be a stable, if you had to guess.
Okay. And then the steps to some sort of entryway to our right.
What's up, Caredwin? I like the clue, the giveaway Caredwin? Code word of strange tree. I think that's pretty.
Oh, cool. It is Caredwin.
What's up, Caredwin? Good to see you.
He used to be my DM.
Oh, is this the guy that you were kind enough to say two favorite DMs of the world?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, well, very nice to meet.
I used to live with him, and he was my dungeon master, and we've been friends for probably longer than some of our people in the chat have been alive.
Wow, that's awesome. Welcome, Caredwin. Thank you for helping DM him and making him such a good player. Made it a lot easier for me. Okay, so welcome in. So here we go. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
All right. I'm thinking we just check out over here. Just check these structures out.
And on the west side, of course, is this, you know, the well and the these things. Yeah,
this brew, whatever this is. So I think you just go down
it's
here
the
first.
The well.
Just have a look. You never know. The well could be contaminated. So I'm thinking, I'll head this way towards the well and
probably stay together. So yes, let's.
I was just about to ask. Okay, so you're all going to do that.
Yeah, and Drama will follow me.
Okay. So this is a there is a ring of tight fitting moss covered stones which enclose this well. It is kind of crumbling from the outside. You can see it's kind of you can just start seeing it kind of break down a little bit. And so that's funny, Caredwin. But there is water inside it at the moment. So it's an active well of some kind.
Does it look like fresh water? Has it been contaminated? Yeah.
Well, that certainly does not look black and murky, but it's impossible to tell if it's completely been contaminated or not unless you were to actually drink from it or cast something.
I'll give it a little drink.
Have little weller rappel down into it or something like that. I don't know.
I'll grab some and have a little sip, see if there's a...
Okay. It tastes like normal water, perhaps a little brackish, but not not bad for you.
Seems fine.
At this image, he turns. Seems fine. He just like falls over my face.
Take two steps and then...
I'm fine, Death. No, it seems fine.
Mason, are you joining us or are you still standing at the corner?
Sure.
Alrighty.
Okay.
So, I'll let him go. I'll let go into what is obviously the outhouse.
Yeah, just checking. You know,
I mean, I may be reanimated, but I still have a sense of smell.
The classic, put your ear to it just to hear, see if you hear anything.
Go ahead and make a perception check for me, please.
Occupied.
Yeah. Oh, that's persuade. Oh, that was persuasion.
You're persuading the outhouse. Would you please explain? Don't give me any of your crap, outhouse.
My rolls today.
Yeah, you sort of listen and you hear a heart beating. You're like, whoa.
Sod, isn't this the case?
And then you realize it's your own heart that's beating.
Mm. Stop.
Who does number two work for, exactly, DJ?
Stop it, please.
Listen here, you shitty house. Yeah, the jokes write themselves.
I would be a god at Eberwin if we pretended that this was Eberwin.
Oh, man. You do not hear anything inside.
And vice versa. Think up your game systems.
Okay.
We continue to take the piss out of Sod?
Nice. Yes. Well done. Well done. Yes.
That's the whole point.
Here you are working and toileting outside. And this.
Okay, I'm going to open the door.
Okay.
This can only end well.
There are sweet smelling herbs which hang from. You're in real trouble now. I'm sorry. Okay. Sweet smelling herbs hang from the eaves of this ramshackle wooden outhouse, which has a small crescent moon that's carved into its door.
Can we just let this pass, please?
Just a quick, like,
just wipe this from your memory, why don't you?
Quick peek in, see if there's any objects of interest. Is there anything there?
It seems like looks... a pretty, I mean, I'll zoom in.
Not too far, please.
I'm just going to zoom. I don't think we're quite.
And now it's poo.
Yeah, let me just make sure that we zoom in for chat.
Yeah, like a scene from Meet the Feebles. It's, no.
Isn't it the close?
All right, there we go. You have to go there. We're all zoomed in, like real.
The very title of that song is terrible. It's absolutely
awesome.
Terrible.
It is an awesome film from Peter Jackson. If you have not watched it, you must. Arv, do not watch that with your kids.
No, okay.
No.
I love that movie, Trent Ardenell says. While Trent eats oatmeal, I bet that's appetizing.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. I was going to grab just like a huge heaping spoon of oatmeal. Like, it's not one of yours, is it? But the oatmeal is still too hot, and I would scald myself.
It was worth it for the joke.
Anyway. No, not really.
Okay. Oh, my mouth is on fire.
Okay. So anyway, there does not seem to be anything unusual. I mean, there is, of course, there's an area on the bench which has a cover on it, and you could, if you wanted to investigate.
But do things if you want to.
You could always.
Well, I guess I'll just go and have a little peek down. I mean, like. Sure, let's do it.
So,
please let there be a shot.
Would you like to roll more dice? Please.
So when you open it, I'd like you to make a Constitution saving throw for me, please.
Oh, okay.
We warned you.
And then the
you're like, oh, it smells. Hey. It's clearly been used as an outhouse. It has the foul funk of 1,000 years.
He opened the outhouse. I was like, wait a minute. And, he opened the main.
Yeah. It smells like roses. No, it's like the famous, it smells in there, but we're going to spray some Lysol disinfectant and think that does the job. Like, it's fine. Now right. It smells like vanilla crap. Like, thanks.
Clearly, they haven't been putting the wood chips down after every use as they've been supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it smells a little not so good, but it seems normal, though.
The nightshade spray. Yes, that should do the job.
All right, so I'll just back up and go.
Dude, what crawled in here indeed?
Hey, if you want to go, you can go now. Now's a chance.
No, I wasn't.
Esmeralda, you turn around and you see Esmeralda just sort of staring at you as like, usual with her arms folded.
No, not you. You can't go in there.
And she kind of tilts her head.
And he points at Zaramba and not you either.
And she also looks at you like quizzically.
And he points at the symbol on the door and says, do you know what this means? Men's room. You cannot, if it was a ladies' room, it would have a star on the door. You cannot, this is the men's room.
They both kind of stare at you, and then Esmeralda
that's actually true.
Turns around and stiffly moves away.
How you tell the outhouses apart, the ladies' room has a star on the door. And the men's
room. That seemed to be a separate ladies' room, though.
Hell.
While he's instructing him the finer points of bathroom genderism, I'm going to investigate the front door.
Wow. Oh. Okay. Wow, this episode is going places. Anyway,
this is okay. As you get to the front door, it's actually not the. It's really kind of a side
door. I was
gonna
say, why is the outhouse right in front of the?
Yeah,
front
it's really door? A side. It's really a side. It's really a side door, but the door is open. Getting up to the
other
door
is the entrance to the ladies' room. That's obviously what it is. The rest of this is that they have the waiting room, the inner room, the tertiary room.
As you are going to the getting up to the door, you hear
it's bigger on the inside.
Suddenly the rustle of dead vines all around you. And as you look around, you can see from the vineyard inhuman shapes emerge. Their limbs cracking as they trudge forth through the mist and the rain.
Ah, rock and roll!
And they are walking towards you.